Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, July 5th, 2018. Sure, happy it's Thursday. Sure, happy it's Thursday. Sure, happy it's Thursday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in with your comments and questions. A reminder that today, in our third hour, our guest will be Daisy Luther from The Organic Prepper, and we're going to be talking about this sudden incivility bordering on violence, harassment of people in public, and where is it going? Could it really turn into a new civil war? And speaking of the incivility in public, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt, has resigned. And, of course, you know, this is only going to encourage those liberal harassers. We got one. We got one. Keep going. Keep going. But the reality is that Scott had a lot of stuff chasing him around. And even though Donald Trump gave him a nice little send-off on Twitter about he's done a great job, blah, 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 there are like a dozen open investigations into his behavior. One of them is he asked his aides to find a $200,000 a year job for his wife, which is not what they're paid to do. And apparently in another incident, he was asking his aides to pay for hotel rooms on their personal credit cards, which then begs the question, what was Scott Pruitt doing at those hotels where he did not want an official paper trail? And this is the former Attorney General of Oklahoma who's behaving like this. Another little reminder of just how crooked and corrupt they are all. Now, as you know, the liberal whiners are out there, and they've gone over the edge, led by Maxine Waters. And there are a bunch of liberals who, lemming-like, are following her off the edge of the cliff. And Trump's ratings have soared 5 points in the latest IBD tip poll. And oddly enough, his numbers are up 10 points with Hispanics. The legal Hispanic citizens of this country are tired of being conflated with the illegals. It's making their lives very difficult. They're getting shouted at, they're getting harassed, and they have every right to be here. So they're fully on board with Trump toughening up the immigration. And so if the Democrats thought they were going to run on this in November, it has backfired horribly. And article over in the Washington Times, the abolish ICE narrative is turning into a disaster for Democrats. 69% of Americans want strong borders. They want ICE. And, of course, the Democrats are now clustering around Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who defeated Joe Crowley in the New York primary, and she's an open borders advocate. So now the Democrats are saying she's the new face of the Democratic Party. But it's falling on deaf ears. They're not getting a lot of traction. Now, she may win the midterm election, she may get to Congress, but the agenda itself is falling apart. And according to the latest Reuters poll, millennials are leaving the Democratic Party in droves because they're looking at how the Democrats are behaving, the Democratic lights, the Maxine Waters, the Dianne Feinsteins. And it's not very attractive. And, of course, other Democratic leaders are out there trying to delink the party, saying, well, they don't really represent us. But the young white Americans aren't seeing it that way. And they are shifting solidly towards the GOP, which is why the Democrats are desperate to flood this country with illegal immigrants before November. Because otherwise, they're going to get a clubbing. They're going to feel like baby seals after that election is over. Now, there's a memo that has surfaced and from the FBI. And it actually went out telling FBI agents that they had the authority to bend or suspend the law in their hunt for terrorists and criminals. And the FBI has now taken this down from their counterterrorism training manual. and said, yeah, it was a little irregular. But no, at one point, the FBI were being taught they were above the law. And of course, with training like that, is it any wonder you have people like Peter Strzok coming on out and saying, we can't take the chance that that Trump will be the president. We're going to stop him. That's very dangerous when you have an intelligence agency or any kind of a police force that sees itself as above the law. And of course, they aren't really. That's a lot of what this IG investigation has been about. Acting like they're above the law. So, now, the highest ranking lawyer in the Justice Department and the top aide to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, Scott Schools, is stepping down from his position. And Scott Schools helps Rosenstein oversee the ever expanding Mueller witch hunt. Now, Scott has spent 27 years in the Department of Justice and will be replaced on an acting basis by Bradley Weinsheimer, who currently works in the National Security Unit. This is coming from NPR. Now, is he just tired? Is he getting ready to retire? Or does he know that something's about to break and he wants to get clear of the shrapnel zone, as it were? We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And people's attention are turning to Rosenstein and saying, what happens next? If he won't release the Clinton documents, if he refuses to comply with the request of Republican lawmakers to release documents about why Special Counsel Robert Mueller began investigating the alleged Russian collusion in the 2016 election, he could be held in contempt. He could be impeached. So there's a lot of game playing that's getting ready to go on. And the fact that they're having these discussions, I think, is a signal that Rod Rosenstein is going to defy Congress and say, no, you're not allowed to have these. This is too important. So originally, Sessions and Rosenstein and Mueller were out there looking for evidence of Trump's wrongdoing. Now it seems they're obsessed trying to bury the evidence of their wrongdoing. That's what's going on over here. Now, as you know, we're coming up on the NATO summit, and Trump is sticking to his theme that other nations in the alliance have to carry their fair share. And in his speech to NATO, Trump is basically going to tell him the U.S. cannot be the world's piggy bank. And he's absolutely right about that, because we've run out of pennies. But he's going to be calling on the other nations to significantly increase military expenditure to counter Russian aggression. Still on that one. Okay, now getting on over to the war zones. FSA militants have surrendered their heavy weapons to the Syrian army. And this is in the town of Bashar al-Sham in Daraa. According to photos and videos, the group has handed out over two battle tanks, two BMP-1 infantry fighting vehicles, a 37-millimeter automatic air defense gun, M1939, a 160-millimeter mortar cannon, and at least six U.S.-made TOW anti-tank missile launchers. Besides this, the Syrian Arab Army has recovered a notable number of mortars, ammunition, and light weapons. Now, according to Syrian government sources, the Free Syria's Army, Shabab al-Sunna, will continue handing over weapons in the upcoming days. Most of its members have chosen to settle their legal status and to join the Syrian Arab Army to combat ISIS and Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. So they're switching sides, kind of like the Italians in World War II. Now, Russia has started fresh talks with militants to try and finally end all the fighting in southern Syria. And I would think that they would be open to talks, because at this point, it is clear they are losing. It's clear the United States has abandoned them. And so it's time to bring this thing to an end. And once again, Putin is showing that he is a global statesman interested in peace. Now, earlier in the week, I reported that there had been a major development where Bashar al-Assad had cut some kind of a deal with the Kurds, where they were going to stop fighting each other. And we're getting some more details on that. Basically, the Kurdish forces are joining with Syria to push Turkey out of northern Syria, where the Turks have been extraordinarily rude to the Kurdish people. And after that's done, I would expect that probably Assad is going to say, just settle down there, make your lives there. We are going to leave you alone. Now, at some point, the issue of autonomy will probably come up, but I think that's going to be a while down the road because everybody's just tired of the fighting. They want this thing to be over. Now, Iran has issued a major threat that they will shut down the Strait of Hormuz if the United States tries to force the rest of the world to stop buying Iranian oil. And Iran is basically saying, if that happens, nobody will be selling any oil from the Middle East anywhere. Now, it's very, very tough talk, and I'm afraid it's a little bit of chest thumping. The U.S., of course, is vowing to keep the Gulf waterway open. And unfortunately, in terms of naval forces, the U.S. has the advantage, unless Iran has got something secret that we don't know about. On the other hand, the Yemenites did surprise the Saudis with that rocket that hit their landing ship, caused them to skedaddle away. Iran is also saying that if the Iran nuclear deal is shut down, I mean, Trump's pulled out of it. Trump is trying to get all the other members to pull out of it. They're still saying they want to work with Iran to keep it going, but there's a lot of pressure being put on them. If the deal falls apart, Iran is saying they may alter their cooperation level with the IAEA. Now, it's a very subtle piece of business. Under the terms of the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, Iran is obligated to allow the IAEA into certain areas like the centrifuges, the power stations, for inspections. As a condition of the Iran nuclear deal, the IAEA was given much wider access into Iran. And Iran is saying that if the Iran nuclear deal ends, they're going to roll the IAEA's access back to what is mandated under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Meanwhile, the United States and the Saudis are apparently using the MKO terrorists as a tool against Iran. There's a lot of discord and upset going on in Iran right now. We know that there is a U.S. and Israeli working group dedicated to the overthrow of the Iranian government. It's a replay of 1953. It's a replay of 2009. And there are agent provocateurs on the ground, and apparently these MKO terrorists are some of them. And basically, the MKO has been used against Iran since the 1979 revolution. They've carried out several terror attacks, killing senior officials in Iran. Yet the West, which says cultism is wrong and claims to be against terror, supports this group officially. Getting on over to Israel, Israel has issued a warning that any Syrian troops in the Golan buffer zone will be considered legitimate targets and fired upon by Israel. And Israel is calling for the UN ceasefire to be upheld, which is kind of a joke when you look at how many UN resolutions Israel has defied. I mean, the UN General Assembly has passed all kinds of resolutions criticizing Israel for trying to take Jerusalem, for the treatment of the Palestinians. And Israel's attitude is, we don't care what the UN thinks. And now here they are saying, we call on the UN to keep the ceasefire going. Talk about chutzpah here. Over in Gaza, there's been another Palestinian teenager succumb to wounds he received by being shot by the Israeli snipers at the Gaza Strip. Mahmoud al-Gharabli, 16 years old, died after being injured in the head east of Gaza City all the way back on May 14th. He's apparently been struggling all this time, and finally it just worked on out. Now, protests along the Gaza fence since March 30 have, of course, led to this massacre by Israeli forces. 135 Palestinians, including 14 children, have been killed. 15,000 Palestinians have also sustained injuries, many of them major, requiring amputation. Now, Israel is still out there saying that they have to shoot at the Gazans because the Gazans are throwing rocks at them. There's only one problem with that. The fortified positions the Israelis are firing from are twice as far away from the fence as anybody could throw a rock. The rocks, and none of the IDF snipers have been hit by a rock, or a kite, or a balloon, or a paper airplane, or a spitball. Not one. The violence is totally, totally one way. Now, British journalist Robert Carter has a somewhat different attitude on what's going on in the Middle East. And he says the obvious U.S. bias toward Israel, coupled with the move of the embassy to Jerusalem and the absolute apparent disdain for the Palestinians, is triggering the collapse of U.S. hegemony over the Middle East. And he's saying the evident favoritism towards Israel practiced by the administration will cause the United States to lose its ability to easily manipulate and convince Muslim powers to follow American strategies going forward. And I agree with him. And I agree with him. Now is not the time for the United States to be buddying up shoulder to shoulder with Israel, because Israel just crossed a line with the Bloody Monday massacre, which I like to equate to the British Amritsar massacre, which historians now view as the point at which British control over India began to decline. And I think that's what's happening here. Israel just went one step too far. They've committed an atrocity. And while the British colonial government in India did hold a trial and hold the British officers to account, Israel's continued attitude is, we haven't done anything wrong. We're the victims here. We're going to go on shooting the bullets. So they're proving themselves to be unrepentant in the eyes of the world. And we're seeing BDS get a lot of support. Apparently, Israeli officials are now considered persona non grata in Spain. We've reached the point where all of Israel's propaganda and media control and economic control and subversion of our governments fails to keep the world from seeing what Israel is, how it behaves, and what it does. And that's what we're criticizing. While they're out there screaming anti-Semites and Jew hate, we're criticizing behaviors. Not their religion, not their ethnicity, not their clothing. We're not saying their dog is ugly or anything like that. We're criticizing their behavior, which is our right under that First Amendment. Now, an Israeli parliamentary committee has urged the government of Israel to accelerate the so-called legalization of settlement outposts in the occupied West Bank. Now, this is a little bit of arrogance, where Israel's government claims the authority to legalize something which is illegal under international law. But the Knesset Internal Affairs Committee accused Prime Minister Netanyahu of delaying work on the authorization of 70 West Bank settler outposts for over a year, and demanded he speed up the process. Well, Benny's been a little bit busy. He's trying to get himself out of those corruption indictments. But again, Israel's just grabbing the land left and right. And the U.S. favoritism is trying to sell this normalization of Israel's colonial apartheid behavior. And finally, Israelis have begun the demolition of the Palestinian neighborhood of Khan al-Ahmar near East Jerusalem. And 15 people were wounded, 35 arrested. The bulldozers are at it already. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go to the telephones now to Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, Mike, I love the articles that you talked about with that I read on What Really Happened about one. It was Israel is now squealing for the UN to come in and enforce a ceasefire so that nobody would encroach on their buffer zones, which, by the way, are all in Syria. They're all in Syrian owned territory. And now they're squealing. And I wanted to point out, because a lot of people don't know this, you might not even know this, but they have murdered UN people going way back to a guy named Count Folke Bernadotte, who was in 1947 or 6 or something, was a UN special envoy to the Middle East. This is a guy, by the way, he was a Swedish nobleman who had helped negotiate the release of thousands, tens of thousands of Jews from Himmler at the end of the war. But yet he was too even-handed in the negotiations with the Palestinians. And so the Stern Gang, murdered the guy, and he was murdered. The stringing, by the way, included two of its leaders were Yitzhak Shamir and Menachem Begin, who then became prime ministers of Israel. I mean, they were founded on terror. The second thing is that I love the fact there's another article you had that was bending the Israel's bending to Russia's will. And how now that since Syria and Russia have backed ISIS and all the Israeli and American-backed terrorists almost up to the Israeli border, there's nowhere for them to go, and they won't allow them to come back, so they're going to have to exit through Israel. I just wanted to point out the contrast between what works with Israel. We try to get them to do things, and we give them everything, billions of dollars, and, you know, their fifth column runs the country, and yet we can't get them to do anything. But the only thing that works with them, frankly, is grabbing them by their necks and threatening to punch their lights out. Internationally, I'm saying. It's working for the Russians, and now they're bending to the will. So it's interesting.
It is very much interesting, but it does look like Putin is going to settle the situation in Syria down, and Israel's just going to have to go along with that, because if Israel keeps firing missiles into Syria after the war is functionally over, then the verdict of world opinion is going to be Israel's trying to start another war with Syria. And at that point, who knows what would actually happen.
But everybody knows that they're doing that already, Mike. I mean, they've been trying to start a war with Syria and get rid of Assad and actually get us to fight their war. Now they're panicked because they may even have to fight it themselves. They don't want that. That's the UN squealing. Everybody in the world knows they've been trying to start a war, get a war started. Just let's you and him fight, which is their foreign policy.
Yes. Very much so. They want the U.S. to fight their wars for them, pay for them. Again, it looks like Israel is basically backing off. And maybe that's why they're talking tough about shooting Syrian troops in the buffer zones, which you are correct to point out is actually still technically Syrian territory. Israel's trying to thump on its chest and recover some of its face.
Hey, Mike, another one was that working group that is between Israel and the United States is trying to gin up a war with Syria, with Iran. I think you talked about it earlier. That's exactly what they did with the Office of Special Plans. You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
That was tied
directly to Israel as well here. They're not trying to get a war with Iran yet. They're trying to basically overthrow the government like they did in 1953 and tried to do in 2009. And I don't think it's going to work. And after that, yes, they'll gin up some reason for a war. And it's amazing that they're still out there pushing this war agenda when so many of these wars have gone so badly. We have a new government forming in Iraq that is not going to be subservient to the United States. It's going to be under Muqtada al-Sadr. We have all these nations in the Middle East. They see what the United States is doing to them, and they're not going to be agreeable. I mean, the reason there's all that bloodshed in Yemen, they're trying to kick out their U.S. puppet ruler, same thing in Libya. We're stuck in Afghanistan. We're stuck in Iraq. We're mired all across Africa. Nobody knows really where. Now is not the time to be pushing forward with more wars, because at some point, you know, you're going to run out of soldiers. You're going to run out of bullets and ammunition. There was an article that we had on our website today where apparently Donald Trump's comment about sending tanks to Venezuela was not an off-the-cuff remark. He's seriously talking to his White House staff about the advisability of militarily going into Venezuela. All right, we have to take another break for commercials. Peter, stay on the line. I want to come back to you after these words from our sponsors.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still talking with Peter in Los Angeles, and we're talking about the Middle East. And it is in a state of chaos, and it's all at the instigation of the United States, both for its own purposes and for those of Israel, which wants all regional rivals smashed up. That was the whole point of going into Iraq, along with the fact that Iraq was selling their oil for the euro. That's why they want to go into Iran. And I don't know why the Saudis are cozying up to Israel, because somewhere down on that list of large, powerful Middle Eastern nations to be broken up into little, tiny, easy-to-push-around bits, Saudi Arabia's got to be there as well.
Well, Mike, if I can point out a couple things. It's clear that the only people pushing for the end of the P5+1 have been the Israelis and their American fifth column. And all the sanctions that we've heaped on Iran, which is now coming back with these enormously higher and getting way higher oil prices, that affects everything. It's our consumer price index is going through the roof for inflation because of that. It's affecting everything that we do. And this is a direct response to the cost of the wars and the cost of these sanctions that we're doing at the behest of Israel And I got one more point, and that is to make, a couple of weeks ago, the United States, at Israel's instigation, resigned from the UN Human Rights Watch. You remember that?
Yes.
And now they got us to, because it's not with our interest to be off that. We should be in there too. Why shouldn't we have a voice on that? But it's because we've been a slave to their gross, enormous human rights violations that they got us to walk off. But an Israeli lawyer just assumed the chairmanship of that.
Yes.
So an Israeli is now the chairman, but yet the United States has no representation at all because we were doing so at Israel's bidding. We left it. It's ridiculous.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And it's so important that we who are aware of what's going on really reach out to people who are still plugged into, you know, their TV sets and their entertainments. Although it does look to me like people are starting to wake up. I mean, that poll that shows young Americans are moving away from the Democratic Party tells me that, yeah, they're really starting to pay attention.
Well, Mike, honestly, in no small measure, this is, you know, you've got a market share of that. I mean, part of that positive move in the population, frankly, is yours. It's RBN's, but even more specifically, it's yours. So thank you so much.
I certainly hope so. I'd hate to think I wasted the last 25 years.
Hey, that's it for me, Mike, but thanks very much.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open again. Speaking of Yemen, apparently Yemeni army soldiers and fighters from Allied Popular Committee killed and injured dozens of Saudi soldiers in the kingdom's southwestern border regions in June as part of their retaliatory raids against Riyadh. And so Yemen is proving that it can push across the border. It's fired missiles at Riyadh. Saudi Arabia may have bit off more than they can chew. I mean, look how long this has been going on. Now, the fight for Hodeidah is still going on. The UN is trying to find some way to get humanitarian aid into the country. But again, it's more UN hypocrisy because the UN wanted to take control of that port. The Yemeni people wanted the UN to take it over and keep it open for everybody. But that got voted down in the Security Council. Gee, I wonder who vetoed that. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is off to North Korea again, and now he's under the gun to produce some actual concrete results. And again, there are people in the corporate media, there are people certainly in the military-industrial complex who do not want these peace talks to succeed. They want a divided Korea. They want a state of war. They want to go on selling landmines and ammunition and all kinds of weapons to South Korea, which even if they're not being used, they get old, they wear out. So we know that there have been serious leaks of information trying to cast doubt on the possibility of peace in North Korea. So I imagine that a lot of this push get some real results is coming from that group. So Pompeo is out there, and this is going to be his third trip to Pyongyang. And they're making it very clear there will not be any more direct summits between Trump and Kim Jong-un. Now, that being said, North and South Korea continue to signal a growing together. And I just happened to catch on TV the other day where a North Korean sports team was allowed to come to South Korea and play their counterparts down there. I think they were playing basketball. I mean, I just caught it real, real quick. But it's another good sign. And I think that Kim Jong-un is thinking that it might be okay to denuclearize. It's not like he wants to spend that money anymore. If he reunifies with South Korea, and South Korea's President Moon Jae-in has been a supporter of what's called the Sunshine Policy for many years. They want to reunify. China wants to run the One Belt, One Road down into South Korea's manufacturing districts. So that would be a good thing for the people of Korea. You can count on some people inside our government who are, they want the wars. Wars keep nations divided, keep them under control, keep the people down and struggling, keep them helpless. That's really what it's all about. Using war to maintain power over everybody. Doesn't matter which side wins or loses. We get that not just from the government. We get it from the bankers. The bankers love wars. War is the bankers' richest harvest of debt. And they don't care which side wins or loses. They loan money to both sides to fight the war. And then when it's all over, they loan more money to both sides to rebuild from the war. And when it's all over, both sides have more or less what they had before the war began, except they're back in debt to the bankers for another 100 years. It is a scam. And the bankers keep getting away with it because ordinary people don't understand that wars are not about patriotism or glory or spreading democracy. It's all about making a buck. So as I mentioned in that phone call with Peter, apparently, Trump reportedly, this is in Zero Hedge, reportedly asked a group of senior administration officials why the U.S. couldn't simply invade Venezuela during a meeting at the Oval Office. This is sourced from the New York Post. And the meeting was called initially to discuss sanctions against members of the Venezuelan regime. And apparently Trump just said, that, well, why don't we just go on in there? Now, this apparently shocked a lot of the people who were in the room, including former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. So that was way, way back, obviously. And now Trump was told by his aides not to mention his invasion suggestion during private dinner with leaders from four Latin American allies on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly because the word would spread. And he did it anyway. Trump raised the idea with Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos. So now Venezuela knows that Trump is thinking about invading them. And I got to tell you, that was a reckless, dumb thing to do, Mr. President. You may have been a great businessman, but you are clearly out of your depth in the world of politics and especially foreign policy. So we have the World Cup was a huge success. Everybody had fun. Even the commentators on TV were expressing surprise. Wow, this is really cool. We had fun. Russia's a great place. We really loved it here. So what are you going to do to erase all that positive publicity for Russia off the TV? You wheel out the Sergei Skripal story again. Just get it on out and say, oh, yes, Novichok, Russia, Novichok, bad Russia, bad Russia. Forget about the World Cup, bad Russia, bad Russia. That's what's going on here. The big lie that will not die. And once again, we have this claim that this couple, after all these weeks and being told that rain would wash away the Novichok, they're miles away from where the Skripals were, and it's claimed that they were hit with Novichok. In the same article, it says samples have been sent to Port and Down, meaning they went with this claim of Novichok before they actually had anything to back it up. Now, this couple, one of them is a registered heroin addict. And when this couple was were taken to the emergency room after being found, well, they were very, very sick. They weren't quite unconscious. The emergency room treated them for contaminated drugs, which apparently have been a big problem in Great Britain. They're not exactly getting the finest quality heroin and cocaine over there. And that's what they were treated for. That's what the doctors said affected them. And one more point, because the doctors were treating them for contaminated recreational drugs, they were not wearing any kind of isolation suits, which means if the couple really had been contaminated with Novichok, that emergency room crew would all be dead. It's just recycling a lie to try and give Russia another black eye in response to the World Cup. And I got to tell you how incredibly childish this all looks. Now, tomorrow is the start of Trump's tariffs war against China, and China is saying they're going to reject U.S. blackmail. They're going to fight back. Little confusion over just when China's retaliatory tariffs would kick into effect because of the time zone difference here, but apparently they've worked it on out. And a Chinese government spokesman said Beijing will defend itself if U.S. President Donald Trump goes ahead Friday with plans to raise duties on Chinese goods in the escalating conflict over technology policy. And the Chinese government has already issued a list of U.S. goods for retaliation, but the Commerce Ministry says it will wait to see what Washington does. And they're out there being very scrutable, saying China will not bow in the face of threats and blackmail, nor will it be shaken in its resolve to defend global free trade. The issue is that so much of our economies are now tied up with that global free trade, is that a tariff war, by basically cooling global trade, will have a direct impact on our own internal economies, and not just from the increased price of goods that are coming from these tariffed countries. Now, China is apparently still pressing Europe to form a trade alliance, basically for the purpose of getting away from all this U.S. bullying. And they're meeting some resistance, but apparently they're also now starting to get some positive feedback saying, you know, this might not be such a bad idea. Because every time Europe goes along with a U.S. demand, it's followed by another demand. So, meanwhile, Trump has sent a warning to Angela Merkel. That's the big one, tariffs on cars. So, in addition to a trade war with China, we are now looking at a trade war with Germany. And, of course, Merkel has come back warning the U.S. against a trade war. This could really trigger a global recession. It's gone way, way, way too far. And our country, because of its debt load, is going to have a real hard time with a new recession, which a lot of people are saying is likely to hit right after the midterms. Of course, we know that in the run-up to the midterms, the Federal Reserve will pour all kinds of money out onto the country so everybody thinks everything is good and vote for the incumbents. And then after the election, they reel it back on in. Now, as you know, up in North Dakota, they have a state public bank that works very well for them. You don't hear about it. But now it looks like Los Angeles may go the same route. They're looking at a public bank for the city of Los Angeles. They're breaking from Wall Street and the Federal Reserve. Now, because of the city charter, the government of the city of Los Angeles is not allowed to engage in an enterprise without the consent of the voters. So there's going to have to be a referendum. But they're expecting that this would save the city millions, if not billions of dollars in Wall Street fees and interest paid to bondholders, as well as injecting new money into the local economy, generating jobs and expanding the tax base. It could also respond to the needs of its residents by reinvesting in low-income housing, critical infrastructure projects, and clean energy. And it would also serve as the repository for the cannabis industry. Now, this all sounds really good, and you can count on Wall Street and the Federal Reserve to do everything they can to keep this from happening. Because North Dakota, hardly anybody pays attention to North Dakota. We're all watching Los Angeles because of the immigration issue and its very obvious decline. If they put in a public bank and it works, you're going to see a hue and cry across the country for a return to public banking and an end to this private central bank scam, which was the reason we fought the American Revolution in the first place. Now, out in the American West, there are a lot of wildfires. And, of course, they're being exploited by the global warming people as proof. You know, it's just so hot. The temperatures are skyrocketing. It's actually snowing out there, but little detail. And they were giving a lot of coverage to these fires and everything. And then they discovered that one of the biggest fires, the spring fire in Colorado, had been deliberately set by an illegal alien. And all of a sudden, the network coverage went away. When agendas collide. We'll be right back.
Let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here coming up on hour number two. Getting on over into Europe, there's a lot of tension building up there. there's starting to be this real pushback against the open borders, the Schengen, as regards the refugees. And Switzerland has now rejected new EU refugee resettlement demands. Apparently, they took in 1,500 migrants from Italy and Greece in an initial resettlement program in 2015. But now the Swiss government is saying that's enough. And saying that the EU has failed to meet certain prerequisites that were required for the resettlement. I assume that means some kind of financial compensation or something else. But it's really straining. It's starting to crack over here. Denmark is finally waking up and realizing it has a non-Western immigration problem. And early this week, the New York Times published a piece outlining some of the new laws the Danish parliament has passed since the government led by the center-right Venstre Party under Prime Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen introduced a package of immigrant-related reforms in early March. And Denmark has now officially designated some urban areas as ghettos, areas that have dense population of immigrants with high rates of unemployment and increasing levels of violence and gang activity. In one of the country's worst ghettos, unemployment is 45%. 82% of the residents are from non-Western backgrounds. 53% have very little education. 51% are low income. So Denmark is trying to basically just corral them all up now. Up in Germany, Angela Merkel is clinging to power desperately, and she's come up with a new immigrant plan for Germany, which, for lack of a better name, we could call the NIMBY plan. NIMBY is an acronym for Not in My Backyard. And what she's trying to do is to assuage the people of Germany who are fed up with all the refugees by getting the refugees to go to other countries in the EU. The trick there is getting those other countries in the EU to accept the refugees when they themselves are struggling with this huge population. So understandably, her new NIMBY proposals have not gone down well with the neighbors, and it may not work on out. But she's just desperate to hang on to power, desperate to prove to George Soros that she supports those open borders. Now, apparently, migrants in Germany sent nearly 16 billion pounds to their homelands in 2016. So it's not just the migrants who are there as a burden on the taxpayer, a burden on the infrastructure. They're actually taking money out of the German economy and sending it back home. We have that same problem here in the United States, where the illegals are sending cash back to their home countries, and it's bleeding our nation at a time when we can't afford it. All right, there's the music. We're going to take a break for station identification, and we'll be back with hour number two after these few words. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.